The Dark Knight Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Dark Knight Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Alafi, Hardigan Reborn on the forums, and today we have a guest, Marcus.
Hi, this is Marcus Healy. I'm Darkness823 on the forums.
Yep, and we're going to be talking about, of course, Batman. Alright, so quickly, let's just get to some Bat news. I covered this in past episodes, but tomorrow, on Wednesday, Batman Confidential number 7 is coming out, and Batman Strikes. On the 18th of July, Batman, the Harley and Ivy is going to come out. And July 25th, Batman 666 is coming out. And really quickly, I heard a rumor just the other night about Anthony Michael Hall. Have you heard anything about that, Marcus?
I have not.
Anthony Michael Hall is going to be in The Dark Knight, but nobody knows what he's going to be. And the rumor is that he's playing Edward Nygma, so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it should be, I think he could, portray the Riddler pretty good.
Yeah, kind of seems a trend in superhero movies lately, having more than one villain, so setting up having Harvey Dent and Edward Nygma in there, that could set up for sequels.
Yep. But they just said that he was Edward Nygma, not the Riddler, so he may just be a, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of a, what's the term for it? Where you put it in one movie and it comes back in the next.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing with, like, Harvey Dent, how they're not having it as Two-Face in this one.
Yeah, exactly. Wouldn't that be weird if they made the third movie and it was the Riddler and Two-Face again?
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool, because of the Riddler's status is kind of more of a bank robber, not like a psychopath. They could easily pull it off, have the Riddler as the main villain, have him as a side villain or something.
Yep. No, yeah, I could see that. Have you seen any of the new pictures of Heath Ledger?
Yeah, I've seen the couple teaser images. I'm not sure how real they are, though. Because that I support Harvey Dent 2 or whatever it is. That wasn't connected directly to DC, so people aren't really sure if that was a real image or not.
Yeah. Well, it'll be really interesting if the Joker's smile was cut into his face.
Yeah, it'd be kind of cool. Kind of go away from the cartoony image of the Riddler from the comics and have a more realistic one.
Yep. Alright, so have you been reading Countdown?
Yes, I have.
What do you think about that?
I think it's done pretty well. It's getting kind of a slow start, but it's really interesting seeing how it's going to change with the DCU, and I'm going to keep on reading.
Yep.
If we're talking about Countdown, have you seen the second teaser image yet?
Yeah, the one with, isn't it that Lex Luthor screaming?
Yeah, and if you check the upper left-hand corner, they have the Joker talking with Catwoman, and they also have Martian Manhunter. And Catwoman and Martian Manhunter have been confirmed for Batman and the Outsiders, so that's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about that, I love the cover to, what was it, 50? With the Joker?
Oh yeah, that was pretty cool. I think it was 51.
Yeah, and to all the people who are saying, what does Batman have to do with it? He is in it. He's in, I think he's in 51. And then there's the Joker, so.
Yeah.
Just, do you think that Batman's going to have a role in Countdown, or is he just going to be a side character?
Well, since he is one of the big three, he's probably going to have a pretty significant role, but they seem to be focusing on side characters at this point, so, I don't know. They'll probably have every character have a role at some degrees, but I'm not sure how big it's going to be yet.
Yeah, true. Alright, anyway, well, so, yeah, we could, you know, talk Countdown all the time, but let's talk about, Batman. You've, of course, read The Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, I have. Just read it earlier.
What do you think of that?
I think it's probably the best Batman story ever written, to tell you the truth. It really introduced the more modern Batman instead of the Silver Age one.
Yep. Just for the listeners to know, sometime in October, I'd love to have a roundtable discussion. I'm hoping to get a couple of people on to talk. I'm hoping to get Marcus, if you'd
I'd love to be a part of that.
I'm going to try and get Shane Kelly from Comic Geek Speak. And I would, I have a couple of people lined up. I think if everyone who I asked to be on that episode, it should be about 4 or 5 people.
All right, that'd be cool. And maybe since you're using Skype, you could have it live, have listeners call in too.
That would be very cool. No, yeah, that would be very cool. So, just really quick, I just got Skype, and my ID is Batman2489, so if you have Skype, you can add me. I'd love to talk to you, have you on the show, talk some Batman. But anyway, all right, so let's go into our top five really quickly.
All right.
Top five Batman artists. All right, so Marcus, since you're the guest, you go first.
All right, do you want me to do the whole list or just number five or what?
Yeah, just go five, then I'll do five, and you know.
All right. At number five, I have Frank Miller for his work on The Dark Knight Returns and Dark Knight Strikes Again. And I basically put him on here for the iconic imagery he's had for Batman. He's the first one to introduce Batman's tribute to Jason Todd, having his costume in the glass case. And the covers of book one and book four were especially iconic. They have Batman in front of the lightning and him fighting Superman. I really like his artwork in those books.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Frank Miller's awesome. All right, so my number five was Tim Sale. I love Tim Sale's artwork. What is that? Is that watercolors or?
I'm not really sure, but I really like it too. I had him as number four.
Yeah. Well, I have Frank Miller on my list too, but I think you'll be surprised about where I put it. But yeah, Tim Sale. The Long Halloween. That was great. The way that he. I guess it's painted. It looks painted.
Yeah, and it looks. Works really well with Jeff Loeb too. He did a lot of Jeff Loeb's comics.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't read Haunted Night or Dark Victory, but those are on my list to get from In Stock Trade. So
Dark Victory is pretty good. It's pretty much a sequel to The Long Halloween. Has Two-Face in it and all that.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so yeah, Tim Sale. I mean, nothing more to say, but. I think that his artwork goes well with the Batman story.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, number four. Marcus?
Oh, I had Tim Sale for number four, so.
Oh, number four? Oh, okay, all right. So number four for me was Andy Kubert. I'm liking what he's doing on Batman right now.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I like the way that he draws his Dark Knight. I like the way he draws his people, like in Batman 664, the one that I just last read. I don't know really how to describe it, but it's just good, you know?
Yeah, pretty classic Batman for you.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly right. All right, so number three?
At number three, I have Jim Aparo, who's probably best known for his work on A Death in the Family, the story of how Jason Todd was killed by the Joker. And he just did a lot of really good work on Batman. I really liked his artwork, and it really supported the story well.
Yeah. Well, for my number three, I put Neil Adams, because I think that Neil Adams had a little bit to do with bringing Batman back from his campy, you know, 60s.
Yeah. His work's pretty iconic. He pretty much had the Batman that was the basis for all of their artwork for many years.
Yep. And I like it. I like his artwork, but B, I give it a little higher up on the list because, as I've stated before, when you're a little kid and you watch the 60s show, you know, you think it's all fun. But that really hurt the Batman character during the 60s. Because everyone thought it was just a campy kid thing.
Yeah. And so, he'll bring it out of that.
Yeah, so I respect him a lot for that. Along with Denny O'Neil, of course, but
Oh yeah.
But, all right, so number two.
Number two, I have Bob Kane, the creator of Batman. I really liked his work on Batman and the Golden Age comics, and without Bob Kane, there would be no Batman, so I had to put him on my list.
Yeah, no, very true. That Golden Age stuff is fun to read.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. All right, so, well, like I said, I put Frank Miller down as number two. The reason why I put Frank Miller down as number two is because, for me, if we're talking the prettiest looking Batman, then no, he doesn't deserve that. But I think that Frank Miller gets to the gut of the character. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. His gritty artwork. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Exactly. Oh, well, no, exactly. His gritty artwork. And I think his artwork fits the character of Batman because his stuff is rough. His stuff is dark. His stuff is not that pretty, kind of like the psychology of Batman. It fits the story really well. So that's why I put Frank Miller down as number two. And I'm a huge Frank Miller fan, so that probably has something to do with it. All right, and all right, big drum roll. Number one.
All right, on to number one. All right, you already mentioned this guy, but for number one, I have Neil Adams. And
there you go.
Yeah, I put him on there because when I think of Batman, I think of Neil Adams as Batman. Mm-hmm. I think it really is the best, most iconic artwork that has been on Batman for many years.
Yeah. No, yeah, his artwork's great. All right. So for number one, I put in Jim Lee. I love Jim Lee's artwork. I loved it in Hush, and the All-Star Batman and Robin. I haven't been hearing good things, but it's Jim Lee and Frank Miller, and I love Jim Lee's artwork, and I love Frank Miller. So I'm kind of a sucker, so I'm thinking about going and buying it. I just have to. I love Frank Miller and Jim Lee.
Well, but, it's really his writing that people have a problem with. The artwork is excellent.
Mm-hmm. Have you read All-Star Batman Robin?
Yeah, I have gotten suckered into it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's pretty fun, actually. A lot of people have been getting down on it, but Batman has some pretty great lines in it, and it's kind of funny, actually, but it's still pretty good.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, so I know I've been hearing stuff, but I love Frank Miller. Like, seriously, I just do. All right, so Marcus, well, let's talk about you for a second. When did you start reading Batman?
Well, I first got introduced to the character with the animated series, and when I was a kid, I didn't really like it as much as other superhero cartoons because I was a little young for it. It was a little too dark for me at that time, even though it is pretty light compared to the comics. And about a year ago, I just started getting in really heavy into comics, and one of the first comics I picked up was The Dark Knight Returns, and that's what really sold me on the character.
No, yeah, Dark Knight Returns is brilliant. I really want to get the Absolute sometime.
Oh, yeah. Those are really expensive, though, so I think I just want to trade.
Yeah, that those are quite expensive. But if I was going to get one, it'd probably be that. Who is your favorite Batman villain? Who do you enjoy the most seeing?
I'd have to go with the Joker. Out of every comic book villain from Marvel, DC, whatever, I have him ranked as number two just behind Dr. Doom, but he really is an iconic, insane villain. And he really goes well to contrast Batman's stoic style of fighting crime.
Yep. So, you're a big fan of the animated series, or?
Oh, yeah. I have all the DVDs.
Sweet, yeah, I'm starting to save up for those.
Yeah.
That show's great. That's what introduced me to Batman, along with the 89 movie.
Oh, yeah.
And that just cemented it for me, so. I like the way that they portrayed the Joker in that.
Yeah, they had Mark Hamill voicing him. It was really good. And it didn't really stray too far from the comic book Joker either.
Nope. I was watching this. Well, yeah, you've probably seen them, the special features.
I don't really look at those very much.
I was watching it, and they were talking about how they couldn't show the incredibly insane psychotic Joker, but they didn't want it to be the campy Joker.
Yeah.
So they kind of found a good balance, and I think they did.
Yeah, he still has his Joker toxin, and we can still. He doesn't really kill people. They just have him attack people, and they get better somehow. But
yep.
It still really is true to the comics.
Yep. Yeah. So, would you say that he was the best of the animated villains, or someone else?
Yeah, I think he's probably the best in the animated series too.
Yeah. Someone that that I think that contends for it is Chewface, though. He's great.
Oh, yeah. And he kind of got the raw end of the deal for his movie appearance.
Yeah. I feel bad because when you're a little kid and you see Batman Forever, you're loving it.
Yeah, it was really made for little kids. That was really what cemented me on loving the character was Batman Robin and Batman Forever because I was a little kid.
Yeah. But now when you watch it, you just go, wow, Two-Face got a bad end of the deal.
Yeah. Wasn't really so bad for Riddler because he's not as dark of a character as Two-Face, but it was really terrible.
Yeah, exactly. With the whole, what is that, purple kind of suit
that
he's wearing. And yeah. And then it's so funny. It's just that when I was watching Batman Forever again, when you're watching it when you're a kid, you don't see the campiness. But then when you watch it now, and Tommy Lee Jones is way over the top.
Yeah.
What are you thinking about the state of Bat books now?
I really like how Batman's being portrayed in the current Batman books because in the 90s he was really dark, but now they kind of have a medium between the Silver Age Batman and the Modern Age Batman where he's still a dark character, but yet he can smile and he still can be a good friend to Superman and be a good father figure to Tim Drake. And I really like how they found that good medium, the character.
Yep. So what's your take on the Morrison run? Good, bad, sometimes good?
I think it's pretty great. I haven't really read too much into the current arc, but Batman's Son, the last arc he did, was pretty excellent. And I've always been a fan of Son of the Demon, so having that brought back into the canon was a real joy for me.
Yeah, I still have to get that. But it's on my list. I'd love to get everything of Batman on in-stock trades. That'd be great.
Yeah, I use them. I got a lot of Batman books from them pretty recently.
I just put in an order yesterday for Batman Year One, Batman the Killing Joke, and the Encyclopedia to Batman. So
you got the Killing Joke as part of the DC Universe, Swords of Alan Moore, or
yes, I
what's
did.
It?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, people seem to get that.
Yeah, it's pretty good. If you're a fan of Alan Moore at all.
Yeah, I am. I love Alan Moore. Right. They say that. That the Killing Joke is one of the best Batman stories out there.
Oh, it is. You've never read it before?
No, I have not.
Oh, well, if you're a fan of the Joker, then you really got to read it.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it was, boom, right there on the first thing on my list. Right there. This is just a funny kind of thing, but what do you think of Mr. Freeze? Because he's one of my favorite Batman villains, and I don't know if that's a majority with people, but I love Mr. Freeze.
Well, I haven't been reading comics for too long. I haven't been really reading deep into them, so I don't have too much experience with him in the comics, but in the animated series I really like the character, and in Sub-Zero I thought it was a really good movie for the animated series, so I really like him as long as Arnold Schwarzenegger's not playing him.
I agree with that. I love tortured characters when it comes to... I love it that Mr. Freeze is not really a bad guy. he just loves someone so much that he can be evil, you know, if that makes kind of sense.
Yeah. Batman villains do a really good job of that.
Mm-hmm. The Joker's, I think, is the only insane, homicidal one that just kills for fun. I think they all have a reason.
Yeah, well, if you read The Killing Joke, you kind of get into the Joker's backstory, so you get to find out his reason for being such an insane psychopath, too.
Yeah. I'm excited. That's probably going to be the first thing that I read out of the out of the box. Is there anything you want to talk about Batman?
No, I don't really have anything that pressing.
Yeah.
Pretty excited about...
No, go ahead.
All right. I'm pretty excited about Batman 666, which it's a continuation of Batman's son with his son in the future, and that seems pretty cool because I've been impressed with Grant Morrison's work on the character.
Mm-hmm. So have you read the current Bat books?
Yeah, I get pretty up to date.
All right. So would you like to talk about those for a couple minutes?
Sure. All right. Well, in Detective Comics 833 and 834 by Paul Dini, I thought it's done a pretty good job, but I didn't really like how they retconned Batman and Satana being childhood friends. I always kind of hate when they do stuff like that in comics, so other than that, it's been pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And I was really happy because, like I said before, is my first monthly Batman comic was Detective 833. And bada boom, right at the end, right there, spoilers for anybody, it's the Joker. I thought of that as a good sign.
Yeah. But one of the problems with the Joker is the Joker in Batman and the Joker in Detective Comics, there's kind of a difference between the two characters, which I'm not sure if they're going to resolve that anytime soon. But other than that, he's been a pretty good character in comics lately.
Mm-hmm. And what about those covers?
Oh, yeah, the cover's been really good for 834. Has Batman with skeletons behind him and the Angel of Death and stuff, and that's just a really cool cover.
Yeah, it is. I can't wait to go in tomorrow to help my comic book store. I help out there sometimes. I can't wait to get Batman 665, and because I got 664 because my comic book guy said that's a good place to jump on. And when I went back, they didn't have any 665, so they ordered me one. So I really want to know what happens with this this huge cop guy.
Yeah, it's good. It doesn't really resolve the arc. I think they're cutting it off for 666, and they're going back for it in 667 because it still kind of leaves you hanging.
Yeah, because I was like, wow, that's it kind of looked like Bane for a second, but they said he was a cop, so.
Yeah, and the Black Casebook thing with him being a Batman from an alternate reality or something, that's... Oh, I'm not sure if you got into that yet or if that's in 665, but it's really interesting what they're doing with that character, but he's still pretty much a mystery.
Yeah. Everything that I've read of Grant Morrison so far, I've read his Batman, I've read his JLA.
Oh, yeah.
And I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like his JLA period, but it's been pretty good, in my opinion.
Yeah, I got those inexpensive little trades that they came out with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked them.
Have you read the trade for World War III for JLA?
No, I haven't.
Well, it's not related to the current World War III in 52, but it's pretty good. It shows Batman getting his revenge on an old enemy who took him down once.
Wow. Well, let me see. All right, well, I think let's go over some emails.
All right.
Really quick. All right. I have one from, I'm really sorry if I pronounce it wrong, but it's Bjarki Safarsson. He's from Iceland. He said, "Hey, what's up? I've listened to the 3 episodes you've done so far, and they're very good. The only problem is that the sound quality is kind of sketchy in places, but it doesn't make me enjoy the show any less. I'm going to try and get some new equipment, but until then, he just said, I just want to say keep up the good work. And also, if I haven't been emailed so far, the betrayal Batman talks about in regards to Zatanna, spoilers for people who don't know, is when some of the members of the Justice League decide to have Zatanna erase a memory of a villain called Dr. Light after he raped Sue Dibney, the elongated man's wife. Batman walks in on them and goes bat shit insane and tries to stop them. But Zatanna erases his memory as well. Suffice to say, he found out and he's been pretty pissed off since then. That would make me mad.
Yeah, that all goes down in Identity Crisis, in case anyone wants to read that.
Yeah, I ordered Identity Crisis from the in-stock trades, and so I didn't know because I wasn't getting current stuff when Identity Crisis was coming out. But is the whole event story Elongated Man's wife being raped?
Well, actually, at the beginning of the story, spoilers for anyone, she gets murdered, and it's basically the characters trying to solve who did it, and Dr. Light's one of the prime suspects, and that sort of brings up this whole betrayal situation. And it has a really good surprise ending, so I really recommend it to everyone.
Yeah, I can't wait to read that. I have a lot of stuff to read when I get my in-stock trade order. But he says, alright, he said, my top 5 lists are top 5 Batman movies. Number 5, Batman Beyond The Return of the Joker. Number 4, Batman, the 89. Number 3, Batman Forever. He says it's a nostalgia thing, which I can agree. You know?
Yeah. I watched the 60s version with my dad as a kid, so I kind of get enjoyment out of that.
Yeah, exactly. It was when I started really getting into Batman. It was my first Batman movie. I saw most of it in theaters. It was the first Batman movie I ever bought. I loved Jim Carrey when I was little. So, you know, it is a nostalgia thing.
Yeah.
Number 2, Batman Mask of the Phantasm. That's a very good movie. I enjoyed that one a lot. Especially, you know, in animation, you wouldn't think it'd be that good, but it was.
Yeah. It really takes off from the animated series.
Yep. And number 1 is Batman Begins. I love Batman Begins. And I think, I seriously think that Dark Knight will be probably better.
Yeah, it seems like they're going to build off of that and make some of the changes for things people didn't like and keep everything the way people did like. So I'm really excited about it.
Exactly. Have any trepidations about Heath Ledger being the Joker? Because some people don't like that, so.
Not really. I'm not really too familiar with his work, but he seems to fit the part, and from what I've seen, he seems like he could play the character well.
Yeah, I think he could. I've seen lots of his work, and I like it a lot.
Yeah. And another great thing about Batman Begins and The Dark Knight is Chris Nolan's really taking it off from the comics as opposed to the other movies where they just kind of did whatever the hell they want. He's really basing it off the comics, and there's a lot of fan service if you read the comics, like in Batman Begins, when you get to see the tank from Dark Knight Returns. I thought there's a lot of really cool stuff in it like that.
Yep, and one of the most awesomest, I know that's not a word, but awesomest scenes in Batman Begins, I think, because another scene that's from Dark Knight Returns is when Batman's in the Narrows and he's climbing the side of the building, and he stops in the rain, and just the way he looks is the way that Frank Miller drew him when he was in Dark Knight Returns.
Chris Nolan has even cited the comics that he's based the movie off of, and so you can really read along if you like the movie for what comics is based off of, and he does a really good job of bringing Batman to the screen.
Yep. He said that Joker in Dark Knight is going to be based off the Killing Joke, so.
Yeah. Well, that really is the story you want to base the Joker off of, if you're basing it off of anything.
Yep. Alright, so his top 5 Batman villains, number 5 is Bane. which I think Bane's an awesome character, but they overused him a little bit.
Yeah, kind of like Doomsday. He was pretty much a Deus Ex Machina. It was a part of the 90s super events that they're trying to do. And in Nightfall, I wasn't really too excited about the character, but since then, he's been pretty solid.
Yep. Number four is Mr. Freeze. I love Mr. Freeze. Number three is Jason Todd.
Oh.
There you go. Number two is the Joker, and his number one is Two-Face. I love the Joker because he's really demented, but Two-Face is a real contender, I think, for number one.
Yeah. I think it was really interesting how he put Jason Todd on the list, because he's not really that old as a villain. He's only been around for a couple years.
Yeah. And right now he's a kick-ass good guy in Countdown, so.
Yeah, he's kind of being an anti-hero now.
Yep.
I'm not sure if you read it, but a little while ago in Nightwing, he appeared as a second Nightwing, and he started killing people, ruining Dick Grayson's name, and though I haven't been a fan of Nightwing so far that much, that was a pretty good arc.
Nice. Yeah, I have to, I'm going to jump on to some more of the other books, too, because I want to do, of course, the whole Batman universe, but I have to jump in on those, because Nightwing and Robin are the ones that I have the least knowledge about, so I'm going to have to really jump in on that. All right, we got one from Boxing 10. He didn't leave a name. It's just Boxing 10. He says, "Hey, I'm a listener of your podcast. I love Batman. Own every DVD, loads and loads of comics, action figures, toys, furniture, clothing, etc. And I love to see that you're doing this podcast. I love the first couple of episodes. If you need any ideas, let me know." Yep, on the forum at cgs.com, there's go to the Dark Knight podcast forum, and I'll have a thread about episodes that I'd like you, the listeners, to pick, because I think that would be kind of a fun interactive thing to be doing with some of the people. And I want to thank you, Marcus, for your emails.
Yeah, I really enjoyed submitting stuff to the show.
There you go. I love my fans, and I'm excited that it keeps growing. I keep getting things all the time. All right, so let us see. Is there anything you'd like to touch about before we end the show this evening?
No, I think we've pretty much covered it.
All right, sweet. So, all right, well, thank you, Marcus, for coming on the show.
It was my pleasure.
And hope to have you back on in the future.
I hope to be back on.
All right, there you go. And, I hope you enjoyed the episode, and I'll talk to you later on this week.
All right.
All right. Have a good night, and somewhere in Gotham, I'll be seeing you. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Hey, everyone. Before we end this episode, I have a quick 5-minute audio comment from Marcus. He sent me this a couple of days ago, and he wanted this to be on the next show, which he was on the next show. But still, this is on his top 5 Batman writers, and so this is an audio comment from Marcus.
Hello everybody, this is Marcus Geely. I'm known as Darkness823 on the CGS forums, and today I'm here to talk about my top 5 Batman writers. My number 5 writer is Greg Rucka. He's probably best known for his work on Gotham Central, the OMAC project, his work on 52, where he wrote the Renee Montoya storyline, and he's currently writing Checkmate. My favorite Rucka story is No Man's Land. As part of No Man's Land, which occurred after Cataclysm, in which a giant earthquake strikes Gotham City, destroying much of the city. And in No Man's Land, Gotham is officially declared unsalvageable by the U.S. government, and they evacuate all the citizens. Some choose to stay behind, including Bruce Wayne / Batman, and many of his side characters. Unfortunately, many of the criminals also choose to stay behind in what remains of Gotham. And I really like the story because not only does Batman have to deal with all his normal rogues gallery, but he also kind of has to deal with the hopelessness and wondering how Gotham will ever get back on its feet after it's being utterly destroyed by this earthquake. His writing is always really enjoyable, so if you've never read any of Greg Rucka's work before, I strongly suggest you check it out. At number 4, I have Ed Brubaker. Ed Brubaker has written for a variety of Batman comics in the past. He's written for Batman, Detective Comics. I also really enjoyed his work on Catwoman a few years ago. If you're reading his current work for Marvel, he's writing Daredevil, Iron Fist, and Criminal. You really know that he is a master of the crime genre. Unfortunately, he's signed exclusively to Marvel right now, so we're not going to get any more Ed Brubaker Batman stories anytime soon. But his writing style really lends well to Batman, so let's just hope his contract expires pretty soon so he can get Ed Brubaker back writing some Batman stories. My number 3 writer is Jeff Loeb. Jeff Loeb is probably best known for his work on Long Halloween. He also wrote Dark Victory, Hush, Superman Batman, Our World's at War, and many other notable Batman storylines. I really like Jeff Loeb's work because he focuses on the detective aspect of Batman's personality. In Long Halloween, Batman spends over 90% of the comic just trying to figure out who the holiday killer is, and I really like how Jeff Loeb has Batman using his detective skills instead of just punching the villain in the face like some other writers tend to do. His writing style is really reminiscent of film noir and old mystery movies, and his work is always a lot of fun to read. At number 2, I have the co-creator of Batman, Bill Finger. He wrote many of the Golden Age comics, and this was before the campiness was introduced to the comics. It was before the comic code got instituted, so in many ways, the Golden Age Batman is a lot darker than even the 90s version of Batman. Because Batman's personality wasn't so cemented at the time, he does kill people and he's not afraid to use guns, which, as you know, modern-day Batman would never do. Finger also played a part in creating some of Batman's most well-known villains, including the Joker, Two-Face, and Catwoman. So, if you can find Bill Finger's work in trades, then I suggest you pick it up because it's really enjoyable to read. And lastly, my number 1 Batman writer of all time is Frank Miller. Frank Miller really helped to bring back the darker and more serious Batman with his book, The Dark Knight Returns. The Dark Knight Returns also helped to usher in the modern age of comics as a whole. It features the first real Batman vs. Superman battle, and is all around an iconic piece of comic book history. The other Frank Miller title I want to talk about is Year One. Year One was written after the Crisis on Infinite Earths to sort of reboot the Batman character and series as a whole. Frank Miller did an excellent job with this. He, again, ushered in a darker Batman, and it was the first attempt to explore Batman's early career and Bruce Wayne's pre-Batman crime-fighting career. It hasn't really been touched on before in comics history, and to be honest, hasn't really been touched on since, except for in the movie Batman Begins. And if you look at any kind of comic today that details superheroes' early days in crime-fighting, it still bears that Year One insignia, like Mark Waid's Justice League Year One, or the new Andy Diggle Green Arrow Year One, and that's all because of Year One for Batman being such a great comic book, and Frank Miller being an awesome writer. Now I'd like to give an honorable mention to Alan Moore. He didn't quite make my list because he's only really written one Batman story, The Killing Joke, but that story is really good. It appears in DC Universe, Stories of Alan Moore. Pick up the trade, it will only cost you like $10, and it's one of the best Batman stories I've ever read. It's really the quintessential story of the Joker. It shows how sadistic and how crazy he is, and if you're a fan of the Joker, and you like how he interacts with Batman, then The Killing Joke is really the perfect story for you. But Alan Moore had a falling out with DC, so he's not likely to write any more Batman stories or any DC stories in the future. So that's kind of a disappointment, but you can still enjoy The Killing Joke because it's a really great Batman story. Well, there you have it, my top 5 Batman writers. Greg Rucka, Ed Brubaker, Jeff Loeb, Bill Finger, and Frank Miller. I'm really interested to see what writers other people have chosen on the CGS forums, so just post there and I'd love to look at them. That's all the content I have for now. I'll be submitting some more soon, so thanks for listening. Bye.